following is Veronica Erbstock, the self-aware researcher from the 2014 Information Architecture Summit.
The 2014 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by UIE's All You Can Learn. Stay tuned after the podcast for more information about All You Can Learn.
Welcome to the self-aware researcher. I'm Veronica Erb, and we're going to start off by asking, what in the world is a self-aware researcher? Come on. Researchers speak for the users, right? All information architectures speak for the users, but when you have your research hat on, you're definitely speaking for the users because you're talking to them, and then you're talking to your team and your stakeholders, and you're letting them know what they want and what they need and whether they can use that thing you're making. The self-aware researcher is distinguished from your average researcher by a very specific question, which is, how well are we doing our work? Is the method I'm using right now the right method? Am I asking the right question right now? Did I lead them with that question? What's going on? And besides asking all the really good research questions you have about the design you're trying to test, you have to also make sure the research you are doing is asking those questions the right way. At the same time, the self-aware researcher has to be doing these things and not feeling guilty about where they are now. I don't know about you, but I have a list of about 50 things that I need to be able to do to be the sort of platonic ideal of researcher. Like, for me to really be like, oh yeah, I am a researcher, I can do it. And I'm not there yet. I have a long, long way to go. And I can't feel guilty, because if I feel guilty, it's gonna hold me back. So, in this talk today, we've got like 18 minutes left. We're gonna have three steps: gather, experiment, and customize. And I wanna just give you a little heads up. I've talked to some other researchers, and they're gonna have some voices in here too to make sure I'm not just making stuff up, because you wouldn't want that. And this stuff is really important to me because I don't have any training in this stuff. I fell into this field the way a lot of people did, and I have to really practice these things to get better at them and be worth my while. Step one is gonna take longer. It's gonna take about this long. Step two and three and Y are gonna take about that much each. So don't think I'm dragging on. It's all in the plan. Step one. Are you ready? Step one, okay. Gather input. Luckily, gathering input happens at the same time as gathering input on your design. Very clever, right? There's three ways. The first, observe yourself. If you're an aspiring researcher, you don't have a whole lot yet, never fear. The first way to observe yourself is actually to practice outside of research. If anyone's telling you a story, you can practice being a moderator, which is something that most of the people I talked to said there's something they're working on. Even the most advanced of us still need to work on our moderation. So I practice on Tony, my partner, all the time. He comes home, he has a frustrating day, and I put on my moderating hat and I make sure that I'm listening to him. And I'm not just giving him ideas about how to fix it. I'm actually like, oh, well, and then what happened? You know, tell me about that. How did that feel? And it's great because we're being good partners. I'm getting better at research. The world is a happy place. So I advise that you do this too. Okay, that's only gonna get you so far. So next, you need to practice as much as you can. When you go home next week, after leaving the beautiful weather that we have here in San Diego, go home and tell your boss, your project managers, your business development people, if you're independent, tell your clients, I wanna do research. Research is important to me and I wanna do it and I love it, let's do it. Tell as many people as possible because just telling your boss might not be enough. Remind everyone. Once that kicks in and you've done some research, listen to your recordings later. They're technically for analysis, right, if you're doing them? However, they're for much more than that, and I see Lisa up here nodding her head. And that's her right there. I was talking to her and she told me that there was one occasion where she was listening to her research and she realized that she was being a little bit too friendly and that wasn't really what she wanted to do, and she wouldn't have known that if she hadn't listened to her recordings. So listen to your recordings even if you don't listen to them for your analysis. Make sure you do it to get better at your research. Okay, step two, observe others. When you tell everyone that you want to do lots of research, tell them that you also want to take notes and recruit and anything else, because then you'll have the opportunity to be inspired and to see what other people are doing. See what they're doing different, the same, and then you can try it out yourself. Do not judge people. That's not fair. They're self-aware researchers too. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And they're on their path. So just learn what you can and absorb it. Okay, step three of step one. Ask for observations. Dan, where did Dan go? He was in here earlier. There's Dan. Dan Berlin says, introspection is great and all, but one needs outside criticism to really improve one's skills. I don't need to say anything else. When I do this, I ask for specific feedback. If I'm asking my note taker about, for instance, was I unbiased enough, I'll say, what do you think of my moderating? What did you like? What could be better? Anything else? Last thing is anything else, and that's because everyone has big ideas about research, and you should gather them. I talked to Dana. Dana claimed that she asks stupid questions, which I know is not true, because Dana is awesome. Dana's back there. So far, I have a really good attendance in all of my researchers here. But if someone as awesome as Dana thinks that she asks stupid questions, I encourage you, and I encourage Dana, to stop thinking that that's a bad thing. There are no stupid questions. Ask them. You will get smarter. Okay. This is the bonus of gathering information. How to survive. You might recognize this as being almost a seven habit of highly effective people. It usually goes, and then to be understood, but I've found that when I am gathering feedback, it's better if I only plan to understand what that person's telling me. And I realized that I was often thinking that I was sort of agreeing with their feedback if I listened to it and I understood it, and I didn't want to, because I'm the self-aware researcher, I'm deciding my path. So I encourage you to only seek to understand it, and don't worry about whether or not you're going to do it. And don't worry about whether they think you're going to do it, because that's up to you later, and it'll make it easier to gather the information than give them a real chance of helping you learn. And the other thing is to feel your feelings. Oh my gosh. There's going to be a lot of feelings, and some of them are going to be hard and confusing. Like last night, did anyone go to the acoustic jam? Last night, woo! All right. It was really, really fun, and I really loved it, and I went and I listened to a video that someone took, and I found out that I was the annoying person who was off key. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm telling you guys this. And it made me feel, I got like all tight in my chest, and it was really upsetting, and I got carried away, and I started worrying, and then I remembered, Veronica, tomorrow you're telling people to feel their feelings. And so the first step to do when you have a lot of feelings is to name them. And the feelings I was having, I thought was embarrassed, but I realized I was ashamed. And naming it was so helpful. And then I can move on and be like, well, I'm gonna take singing lessons, and I'm gonna sing less, and I'm gonna lead more, and I'm gonna call out chords, and not be that annoying person. But you have to feel them before you can move on. Okay, observe yourself, observe others, ask for observations, survive. That's the most important part. And then take what you learned and do something with it. There are three levels you can experiment within your research while you're also experimenting on things. One, project to project. This one is obvious. If you recruited, only half your people showed up, next time you might want to pay them more or remind them something. Two, phase to phase. We're going to talk slightly more about this one. If you propose some usability tests, you get into your, let's propose, you get into plan and you realize, oh gosh, I don't know anything about these users and I should have done some interviews. You can build some teeny tiny interviews into the beginning of your usability sessions. Just because you didn't propose it doesn't mean you can't plan it. So always sort of think ahead to that. Course correct from phase to phase. And this is one of the key ideas of being a self-aware researcher, is that you might have to fess up sometimes. The hardest part will be fessing up to yourself. And then after you do that, you have to fess up to your team and tell them, you know, we made the wrong decision. Let's fix it now instead of just hiding it and trying to live with it. This happened to someone who I talked to, and she told me that she realized partway into her sessions, three sessions in, that the design was failing catastrophically. Even though they were planning on doing lots of sessions to really prove their results, she changed her mind and she stopped in the middle and went back and they fixed the design so that they could actually use the rest of the tests. And this really involved a lot of fessing up for her, and it was scary, and they got the right results, and they didn't waste a lot of money on tests that told them that the design was crap. So make sure you fess up, because it's scary, but it's empowering, and it's going to get better results. Session to session. Remember that moderating that I mentioned to you before? Oh, yeah. One, run a pilot. Oh, this is killer. If you can't afford to get a real participant to do a fake test with you that you're planning on throwing out, do it with a coworker. And if things are going well, so let's say your design, instead of failing in the first three sessions, is doing super well and you're finishing early and you're getting through all your tasks, use those last sessions to try some new methods, ask some weird tasks, experiment. Use everything you can out of those sessions. Project to project, phase to phase, session to session. Step three, customize it. There's a lot of stuff going on here. I encourage you to be intentional over all things. You might have a list of 50 things. You can't do them all at once. One or maybe two is going to be the best thing that I can ever do. There's two ways to decide what your list of 50 things is. One is what, again, what Lisa says. Basically, everything is good enough until I need it right then. This is, I think, how every practitioner operates at some point in their career, if not always. And it's fine. If you've never done a card sort before and suddenly you have a giant IA that you need to test, you're going to probably need a card sort. Learn how to do it. It's great. On the other hand, if you have the freedom, Matt Dingy, who's one of my former coworkers, he's starting out on his research career. He's only done a couple. And he says that he looks for patterns in what other people do. So he sees the experienced researchers around him and says, ah, you know, they do this kind of thing, or they ask clients these sorts of things. And he's able to sort of look ahead and decide what he wants to study up on. And that's the other great way. So if you need it right then, or if you're looking ahead, both great ways to decide what to do. But in the end, I want you to be yourself and really remember that every researcher is not the same. We each have strengths and weaknesses. And I think that building on your strengths can be really powerful. Previously, I was worried about this. I thought I need to do quantitative and qualitative research equally well, because they're both equally important, which I truly believe. But I had an occasion where I was a designer on a project, and I went to a researcher who was sort of an internal research team for the client I was working for. So we were doing design, and the client's research team was actually doing the research on our design. So everybody got that? I talked to Jill, and I said, oh, we're going to do this project. We have a lot of stakeholders. They care about numbers, and they care about this being really proven. It's definitely going to work. And so she said, this is great. I love it. We've worked together before, and I thought we were going to work together on this, but we're not. I'm going to send you over to Jasmine, and she's going to do this for you, because this is not my thing. And I was like, afterward, I thought, she gets to say that? What? She's in a team where she gets to know that this person is going to do the really like well-structured stuff, and she's going to do the really sort of hands-on, weird, smushy stuff. That's so cool. And I think that if you have the opportunity to build that into your career or to pursue things that way, or to figure out how to do the really structured stuff in a smushy way because you're a smushy person, or vice versa, do it, because you are going to be better at what you do, you're going to like it better, and the folks that you're doing the research for are going to get better results. So be intentional and be yourself. That was step 1, 2, and 3. Why are we bothering? This is a lot of work, right? Why not just memorize some method and just go for it and just keep going? Well, we are responsible for our own growth. If we're not in school anymore that way, or to figure out how to do the really structured stuff in a smushy way because you're a smushy person, or vice versa, do it because you are going to be better at what you do, you're going to like it better, and the folks that you're doing the research for are going to get better results. So be intentional and be yourself. That was step 1, 2, and 3. Why are we bothering? This is a lot of work, right? Why not just memorize some method and just go for it and just keep going? Well, we are responsible for our own growth. If we're not in school anymore, we are the only ones who are going to really make this happen. And as much as your team might want you to change things, it's going to be really hard for them to tell you that if you're not open to it. So pursue what is great and what is excellent. You owe it to your users and you owe it to your team. It's going to be scary at first, but it will make you brave. Your research method and your results will be better. And because of that, you will speak the truth for your users and you will support your team. So, to become a self-aware researcher, I encourage you to gather input, experiment, customize it. My name is Veronica Erb. You can tweet at me at verb is a word. I hope you were doing that earlier anyway. And this has been the Self-Aware Researcher. Thank you very much.